God is about something tonight, and he's up to something. Lord wants to work in this place tonight. Will you let him? Will you let him? It's up to us tonight what we receive from God. And I just feel his presence in this place. How about you? Amen. Join me for a moment of thanksgiving. Lord, I do thank you, God, for your presence that I feel in this place right now. God, the stirring you've done in my own heart, even this day, Lord. God, for what I feel you're going to do tonight, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, in your name. And while you continue standing, let me just read very quickly Isaiah 64:6 to you. It says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our unrighteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Lord, as we continue to worship you and continue to pray tonight, Lord, I pray, God, you'd add your blessings to the reading of the word. God, how I thank you, Lord, for how you have manifested yourself in your presence already through this singing. God, now in these next few moments, I pray, God, that you would just keep me out of the way, Lord. Don't let me say anything, don't let me do anything that would hinder your spirit and what I feel is you're doing here, Lord. But God, keep me right in the center of your will. Lord, simply make me a funnel that you pour your blessings through tonight, God. God, I pray tonight you'd break us. And I pray, God, that you would pour us out before you, Lord. God, as the potter brings the clay down on the wheel, God, bring us down. But God, please don't leave us there. God, bring us back up. God, into a vessel that's worthy, God, for your work and for your filling, Lord. Father, thank you, Jesus, for your spirit that I feel tonight. God, have your sweet way in this service. God, I believe tonight you want to save souls. You want to reach people who need you with a touch, God, from you. God, I don't even know all the ways that I feel that you want to work tonight, Lord. God, I don't limit you tonight. God, I just simply say, Lord, do whatever you want to do in this place. You're the potter. We're the clay. Use us, Lord. Fill us. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I feel with all my heart that somebody in this place tonight, you don't know it yet, but you have an appointment with God tonight. I believe with all my heart, God wants to move in miraculous ways in the life of his people. God's got an appointment with you tonight, and he's got an appointment with me. Question is, will we show up for the appointment? God's going to be there. God will be faithful. I've been preaching all week on an alliterated sermon outline. Not an illiterate, but an alliterated. And alliterated means that the points rhyme. That's about the extent of it. I preached Sunday morning on the price tags of life. I preached Sunday night on the penalty flags of life. And I preached last night on the precarious crags of life. And tonight, I want to preach on the pathetic rags of life. The pathetic rags of life. Isaiah 64:6 said, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Now you're going to notice right off the bat that I'm in a different gear tonight. I usually preach wide open with the pedal to the metal, but I don't feel led of God tonight to be in that mode. And I just want to talk to you for a while tonight. And I want you to let God talk to you tonight. I want you to hear his voice. What do you want out of this revival? Let me ask you that tonight. Now, we've had a good time so far. I've been wide open. I've been sucking wind and slanging snot. Amen. Been wide open. But you know what? We can come and we can have good services. My, haven't we enjoyed the singing that's been here this week? It's been wonderful. Had good preaching, even if I must say so myself. Amen. We've had a good time here this week. But I want you to hear me say something tonight. You can come into church and you can sing your songs. You can preach your sermons. You can smile. You can cry. You can laugh and leave unchanged. That's not what revival's about. Now, I make no apologies for the way I preach. That's the way God wired me up. That's who I am. Now, I'll get happy with the best of you, and I'll cry with the best of you, and I'll do foolish stuff. But let me tell you, that's not revival. Revival is when God changes your heart and you become broken before Him. Will Rogers said, nobody wants to be called common people, especially common people. Amen. He also said, there's something about riding down the street on a prancing horse that makes you feel like something even when you ain't a thing. Now, from time to time in life, we all feel like the fellow on the prancing horse. Each of us feels like we're really something when the reality is we ain't a thing. We ain't a thing. According to the Bible, outside of God's grace, all of our attempts at being something or being somebody are very pathetic in His sight. The text scripture says that we are all as an unclean thing. I don't know how you define the word A-double-L, all, but I define it as all. And I think even in the Greek, Mark, it means all. Amen. It means every one of us are an unclean thing. All our righteousness, says, are as filthy rags. My righteousness, your righteousness, and my own in power and your own power are as filthy rags in the sight of the Lord. He goes on to say, we do all fade as a leaf. All and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Listen to me tonight. Despite our accomplishments, despite the accolades, despite the applause that we may have in life, no matter how good we seem, hear this preacher tonight, we cannot sustain our own goodness. We all fail. We all stand at the foot of the cross on level ground, sinners in need of a Savior. The Bible said there's none righteous. No, not one. And all we, like sheep, have gone astray. Every one of us have turned aside to our own lusts, to our own thoughts. And I'm here to tell you tonight, we need the transforming power of Jesus Christ applied to our lives. Let me ask you tonight, and I've already asked it once, but let me revisit the question. What did you come seeking this tonight? What do you want out of this revival? What is your heart's desire? I pray that it's to see your life changed. I hope you didn't come into this revival praying, God, send a great revival, by changing somebody else. You see, that's not the theme y'all have taken for revival this week. The theme that you have taken is that revival begins with you as an individual. That's the way I've geared these messages under the leadership of the Lord, that you're really serious about that theme, that you wanted revival. Do you want revival tonight? Amen. Do you really want it? And I've got good news for you tonight. It can happen. Yeah. And I believe with all my heart it will happen if you will let it. In England, there's a paper factory that makes some of the finest stationery in the world. One day a man was touring that factory, and he asked what the paper was made from. He was shown a huge pile of old rags, and he was told the rag content in the paper is what determines the quality of the paper. And the man couldn't believe it. But in about 6 weeks' time, he had returned home. He received a package from that paper company. And it had his initials embossed on the paper that he received. And on the first page were written the words, "Dirty rags transformed." Dirty rags transformed. In three words, we find the purpose of the whole Bible. In three little words, we find the reason for Jesus' earthly ministry. Dirty rags transformed. I want you to know tonight, you're looking at a dirty rag that was gloriously transformed one day. Somebody here tonight needs to hear this. Because you may feel like you're the most filthy rag that ever was. Would you hear me tonight when I tell you that there's transforming power in the name of Jesus? Would you hear me tonight when I tell you that it doesn't matter how bad you think you've been? It doesn't matter how black you may consider the sin of your life to be. It does not matter tonight how dark the night might be in your life. You need to hear me tell you something tonight, that Jesus loves you. He really does. And there's nothing you could have done or that ever could do that would make him not love you and would make him not save your soul and transform your life. There may be folks under the sound of my voice tonight that you've gone weeks and maybe even months without hearing somebody whisper those three words, that I love you. Now I want you to know tonight that I do. Under the love of Jesus Christ and under his authority, I love you. But I want to tell you something better than that. Jesus loves you. You've heard this saying before. A great professor of a seminary was teaching. And a student in question and answer time after the session, the student asked him, said, "Professor, in all of your world travels and all of your studies," he said, "what is the greatest theological truth that you ever learned, and where did you learn it?" The old professor kind of smiled, and he said, "I learned it at my mother's knee." And he said, "the greatest truth I know is Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." Somebody's got an appointment with God in this place tonight. And you needed to hear that. You needed to be reminded of that. Because you feel like a filthy rag. You feel pathetic. But God's saying tonight, "I love you. I love you." And there was this little saying years ago, back in the 80s, had a picture of a little child on a poster with his face smiling, and under there it had under it, and you'll remember it, it says, "I'm somebody, cause God don't make no junk." You know tonight God doesn't make junk, and you're somebody tonight, and he loves you. He loves you. You may be going through a dark night in your soul, But be of good courage. Jesus hasn't lost you. He knows right exactly where you're at. I remember hearing a preacher tell this testimony years ago. He was a traveling evangelist, and he had one of those RVs. And he'd been traveling for some time, had his family with him. And the bookings had dried up. His soul had gotten dry before God. And he told his wife while he was riding down the road, he said, "You know what, honey?" He said, "I think God has forgotten my number." He said as they rode down the road, they pulled into a Dairy Queen for the kids to eat. And he said, "Y'all go on in." Said his kids and his wife went in the Dairy Queen and started ordering. And he was just kind of lagging behind. And he had a radio ministry that was on in several states, but he was just all depressed. And as he was going toward the Dairy Queen, he walked by a payphone. And said all of a sudden the payphone rang. He said, "I don't know why I did this." He said, "I don't ever do things like this." He said, "I reached up and answered the phone. I picked it up and I said, 'Hello?' And somebody said, 'Dr. So-and-so, is that you?' And he said, 'Yeah, that's me.' And the voice on the other end says, 'Well, I had no clue that I would catch you in your office today.' And then the person on the other end broke and in tears began to tell him that she was suicidal, about to take her life. And she had heard him on the radio, and she called the office number. And God switched the wires up, and a payphone rang. He was able to lead that lady to Jesus Christ. He walked into the Dairy Queen, and he sat down by his wife. And he said, 'Honey, I need to tell you something. God hasn't lost my number.' Now I want you to know something tonight. Somebody in this place, you think God's lost your number. He's forgotten who you are. God knows who you are. He knows where you're at. And he still loves you tonight. You see, we need to remember something tonight, though. We're just dirty rags before God. And our best efforts at holiness are pathetic tonight. And I don't know whether I'm going to squall through this thing or run through it or whatever. God's got me hemmed up tonight. But I'm glad that my relationship with Jesus Christ tonight does not depend upon my holiness. Because sometimes I'm not very holy. Sometimes I'm anything but holy. But let me tell you something. I know something for sure tonight. I know my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know that something real happened to me one night when I found Jesus as my personal Savior. My. We need to remember that the transforming power of the Savior is very precious. And lest we forget, this is the work of our Savior, to transform dirty rags. And it's also our work. Tonight I want to very briefly, and I'm just going to do what the Lord wants me to do tonight. I'm going to give you 7 principles that will transform the pathetic rags that we are. How does God transform pathetic rags? What do we need to do? Number one. If you want God to transform you, then number one, love God more than life itself. Love God more than life itself. Exodus 22:3, the Lord spoke, and this is what he said. He said, "I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Oh, praise God. Did y'all catch that? He said, number one, I am the Lord thy God. He is our God. And he said a little further, and he said, I brought you out of the land of bondage. If you're living in bondage tonight, what are you doing there? Why are you there? God has brought you out of the land of bondage. But he goes on and says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. If you want God to transform you from a pathetic rag to a vessel fit for the master's use, and listen to me tonight, you need to learn to love God more than any other god in your life. He must have first place. Love him more than life itself. Be like Job said, even if he kills me, I'm going to serve him. I won't turn my back. I won't change. Love God more than life itself. Matthew 22, 36 and 37 says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Matthew 6, 24, listen to me tonight. Somebody needs to hear this. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The prophet of old said something like this, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you want to be transformed tonight, you got to learn to love God more than anything in your life. We've got to learn to be passionate. Let me ask you something tonight. Have you had a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ? Are you passionate about Jesus tonight? Is Jesus everything to you tonight? Or are we part-time Christians serving a part-time God? I don't think so tonight. We've got to be sold out to him. Are you passionate about doing his work in your personal life and his work in this church? We're talking about seven principles that transforms pathetic rags. Number one, love God more than life itself. And number two, live as if you are dying because you are. Live life as if you are dying because you are. Seldom do I listen to country music. Very seldom do I listen to country music. I only know one joke about country music. They say if you play it backward, backmasking, you get your wife back and your dog back and your house back and your car back. And that's all I know about it, but seldom do I listen to it. However, the other day, for whatever the reason, I heard Tim McGraw's song, Live Like You Were Dying. And I'm going to tell you what, folks. It spoke to me. And I'm going to do something I don't know that I've ever done. I'm going to read the lyrics of a country and western song in a sermon. The lyrics say what I want you to hear tonight. Would you listen? He said, I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me. And a moment came that stopped me on a dime. I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays and talking about the options and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what you do? And he said, I went skydiving. I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. And I loved deeper. And I spoke sweeter. And I gave forgiveness I'd been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. He said, I was finally the husband that most of the time I wasn't. And I became a friend would like to have. That may not do anything for y'all, but that's doing something for me. And if you don't, if it ain't doing for nothing to you, just leave me alone while I have my spell, okay? Amen.
Come on, brother, come on.
And all of a sudden, going fishing wasn't such an imposition. And I went three times the year I lost my dad. Well, I finally read the good book. And I took a good, long, hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. Then I went skydiving. I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. And I loved deeper and I spoke sweeter. And I gave forgiveness that I'd been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. Like tomorrow was a gift and you got eternity to think about what you'd do with it and what you did you do with it and what can I do with it and what could I do with it. Skydiving. I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. And listen to this again. And then I loved deeper. If y'all don't pray for me, I'm just going to have to sit down up here and have a good squall. Well, God's just all over me tonight. And I loved deeper. And I spoke sweeter. And I watched Blue Eagle as it was flying. And he said, someday, I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. There are three very important lists that should govern each of our lives as we go through it. One is our to-do list. I shared this with the noon crowd the other day. The other is our not-to-do list. But there's a very important third list, and that's our to-do before it's too late to-do list. Let me tell you something. We need to learn to give our flowers while we're living. When I die and my wife dresses me up in a suit and puts a tie on, sticks a rose in my lapel, and puts a Bible under my arm, and by the way, I will be looking good in death just like I do in life. Amen. I told my wife, and this is off my sermon, but I love deacons. I do. But I told my wife, I said, well, when I die, I said, I want you to make every deacon that ever served with me a pallbearer. And any one of them that ever gave me a problem, said, I want you to make them tote me for a mile. But you know what? I'm kidding on that. But you know what? Don't come running up to my casket and throwing yourself on it and boo-hooing and say, oh, Brother Aaron, I love you. Because, honey, I'm going to be kicking up gold dust and I ain't going to be hearing a word you saying. And it ain't going to matter. It might make you feel better, but it ain't going to make me feel no better. If you want me to know something, are you listening to me tonight? If you want me to know something, if you want any loved one to know something, tell them now. Tell them now. Tomorrow may be too late. The fellow that I heard that talked about these three lists, he'd been for a long time trying to get his wife to fill out the to-do before it's too late to-do list. And she wouldn't do anything with it. Until the day that he came home and found her sitting on the bed crying. And she had just been told that she had breast cancer. And guess what, people? All of a sudden, number three list took top priority. We're talking tonight about seven principles that will transform pathetic rags like me and you. Number one is to love God more than life itself. Number two is to live as if you're dying, because you are. But number three, and I may not get any further in the sermon than this, and if I don't, it's all right. Number three, learn to latch on to the real things in life. To the real things. Let me tell you something, and you young folks, I'm so glad y'all been here all week. Kevin, you got a good group there, buddy. But I want y'all to hear this old preacher say something, and I know y'all look at me and say, man, you old as dirt. I ain't but 50, just half a century, and God blesses, you'll get here one day. Amen. But I want y'all to hear me say something tonight. And I want all of you to hear me say it. An old saying says, everything that glitters is not gold. Everything you think's real in life is not real. Life is filled with a lot of cheap imitations. And I'm going to tell you what, if you want to be transformed by God, we need to learn what's real. And it's only the things of God, the things of love, that are real and that will last. I guess it's because I am such a simple person that nursery rhymes teach me theological lessons. I told the other night about the little train that could. Let me tell you another nursery rhyme that teaches me great theological lessons. And it's the story of the Velveteen Rabbit. How many of you remember the story of the Velveteen Rabbit? The story of the Velveteen Rabbit goes something like this. That there was an old skin horse or a rocking horse that was in a little boy's nursery. It was a play toy. And there was all kind of other toys. But one day, they got a new wind-up toy that they put into the nursery. And somehow, magically, all these toys could talk to each other. But the old rocking horse, he was the senior toy in the nursery. Everybody looked to him for wisdom. And the discussion got to going in the nursery, and the little wind-up toy asked the old skin horse, who had been longer than anybody there, and he had been loved by that little boy so much that he had raw patches on him. His eye was bulged out. They'd pulled all the hair out of his tail except for about three strands, and he was an ugly looking horse. And the new little wind-up toy asked him, said, what is real? What does it mean to be real? He said, is it something that you wind up? He said, is it something that buzzes inside of you? He said, what does it mean to be real? And the wise old horse looked at him and said, oh no, it's not something you wind up. It's not something buzzing. He said, that's not being real. He said, you can only be real when a child loves you and really, really loves you for a long, long time. And he loves you to the point that he's rubbed you raw, your eye bulges out, and he's pulled all your tail hairs out. Only then can you be real. And the little toy looked at him and says, but by then, you've become ugly. And the wise old horse said, but you must understand, once you become real, you can only be ugly to those who do not understand. Let me tell you something tonight. I'd rather have one real friend than 199 imitations. I'd rather have one real encounter with God than 2,000 meetings. And I'm going to say something here tonight, and you please take it in the spirit I'm giving it. For some reason, God has blessed me, and I get to preach revivals all over this countryside. I'm in churches all in Troup County, and you listen to this statement I'm about to make, and I'll say it on Court Square if you want me to. I, for one, am sick of church services. I am. It wouldn't bother me if I was never in another church service to begin again. Now, I know you look at me and you say, what are you talking about? You're the associational missionary and you're tired of church services. Yes, I am. I don't want to be in church services. I want to be in worship services.
Come on now. It's all right.
What we need, brother. What we need to get to.
I want to be in places where the Holy Spirit of God flows unhindered. I want to be in places where people are not afraid to express what God's doing in their life. Whether it be a tear rolling down a cheek, whether it be a hug around the neck, whether it be a shout for God, or whether it be quiet, quiet solitude before God. I want to be in places, Jerome Shipman, where God shows up. And I want to be in places where when he shows up, he just shows out. That's where I want to be. We've learned the liturgy of the church. We've learned how to do everything, and we've got it programmed, and we've got it down cold, and I believe it's a stench in the nostrils of God. God wants people who will come before him humble, broken, and with a contrite spirit, and will say, God, it's not about me, but it's all about you, and we'll worship him. Where did we get away from the heart of worship, people? When did it become in vogue to have a good service but not experience and encounter God? I'm telling you something tonight. My soul hungers to be in a meeting where the Spirit of God is truly manifest, where people fall weeping under the conviction of God, where repentance takes place, and we're not worried about what somebody else may say about us. But we want communion with God. And I dare say, ain't none of this on my notes, it's just coming up and it's coming out. I dare say that more folks are more concerned about the relationship they have with their preacher than they are with Almighty God. More folks are more concerned about who's going to sing the special on Sunday morning and who's going to take the offering and who'll play the piano and who'll sing the song, what the preacher will preach. We're more worried about the service than we are the worship of an Almighty God. Help us, God, to get back to the heart of worship. Help us to get back where we have a broken heart and a seeking spirit for nothing more than pure, unadulterated, unhindered worship before God. Let us not worry about whose name is on the sign. Help me a little bit. Let us not worry about the politics of the church. I believe God wants to vomit sometimes at the politics and the petty pickiness that goes on among his people.
That's all right.
God wants to do something in this place tonight. Somebody's got an appointment with God. Be real tonight. For once in our life, let's just get real before God. Let me tell you what reality is. Back several years ago, a movie came out. It was a little animated movie. Y'all might remember it. The name of it was Toy Story. Do you remember Toy Story? For those who may not remember it, the main character in the little film was a little wooden cowboy named Woody. that belonged to a little boy. And here again, like the Velveteen Rabbit, all of these could talk in the little boy's room. And one day, they bought a new toy, the mama did, I think, and brought him in. And y'all remember him, don't you? You know what his name was. Buzz Lightyear. And what was Buzz? He was a space ranger. Y'all remember that? And Buzz thought he could fly. And Buzz thought he could conquer anything. And then one day Woody got mad at him. And Woody got jealous. And Woody had to be a Baptist. Because Woody tore him down verbally and then tried to build him back up. Had to be a Baptist. He told him, he said, "You can't fly. You're not a real space ranger." He said, "You're just a child's plaything. That is all you are." Of course, Buzz tried to fly and discovered he couldn't fly. And his little wings drooped and he got all depressed. And then Woody saw what he had done. And folks, I may just get raptured when I finish this. I don't know. But Woody got to talking to him to make him feel better. And he says, "Listen." He said, "You're not somebody. What's your self-worth is," and I'm paraphrasing, "that your self-worth is not dependent upon whether you can fly or not." Y'all remember the story? You remember what he told him to do? He said, "Look on the bottom of your shoe." I like this. And little old space ranger looked on the bottom of his shoe. And on the bottom of his shoe, written in indelible ink, it said, "Property of," and it had the little boy's name there. And Woody told him, said, "You're not valuable. You're not important. Not because of what you can do or what you can't do." He says, "But you're valuable because of who you belong to." Now here is reality tonight, folks. You're not valuable to God because of who you are. You're not valuable to God because of what you can do. You're not valuable to God because of the money you've got or the talents you have. You know why you're valuable to God tonight? Because you know Him as Lord and Savior, and the finished work of Calvary is written in the blood over your heart that says property of Jesus Christ. That's why you're valuable tonight. That's what's real. That's what's real. Years ago, an old man and a young man shared an apartment together. It was a upstairs, downtown, stairs, two apartments. The young man lived upstairs. The old man lived downstairs. The old man was in a wheelchair. The old man was a retired music teacher. But he and the young man formed a fast friendship. And it wasn't long till they got in a ritual that they would do every morning. Every morning the young man would come bounding down the stairs. And he'd look at the old man, and as a term of endearment, he'd say, "Hey, old man, what's the good word for today?" And with that, the old man would reach into the side pocket of his wheelchair, and he would pull out a middle C tuning fork. Remember, he was a music teacher. And he'd strike that middle C tuning fork on that wheelchair, and he'd say, "But the good news is, my boy, that is a middle C. It was middle C yesterday. It's middle C today. It'll be middle C tomorrow." He said, "The tenor down the hall sings off key. The piano in the next room is out of tune. But that, my boy, is a middle C." Woo! You know what? I got good news news for you tonight as we're talking about what is real, what can we put our trust in, what will transform us. The good news is, glory to God, that 3 days after the crucifixion, the tomb was empty. It's been empty ever since. It'll be empty tomorrow. That's the good news. That's what's real. That's what's real. That's as far as I'm going. I believe I've preached what God wanted me to preach. And I'm telling you, with every ounce of anything that's in me, I firmly believe God wants to do a work in this place tonight. He wants to touch my life. He wants to touch your life. Will you let him tonight? Will you let him? Now, folks, this has been real tonight. God is all over this place. There's some folks, I don't know who you are. It's none of my business who you are. You come into this place tonight and your plate's full. You thinking if one more thing goes wrong, I just don't know what I'm going to do. You need to hear tonight that God loves you. God hasn't forgotten you, and God wants you just like you are. He ain't going to leave you that way, but he loves you just like you are, and you need to bring it to him. Surrender it to him. You're toting it around and you're not capable of toting it around. Come bring it to God. Somebody may have hurt your feelings. You may have got a phone call today. I don't know. That something horrible has happened. I don't know. But I tell you what my spirit is saying tonight. That God's passing by this place. And if nothing else is happening, he's saying, Unity Baptist Church, let's get real. I don't want any more of your programs. I'm not interested in your perfect attendance pens. God's saying, I want a relationship with you. And I want it like it used to be. God's saying, I want all the junk out of the way. I want to worship you, and you to worship me, and I want to love you. And we're going to do different tonight, Max, and the altar call. I want the musicians to come. And I want them just to start playing. And I want you to obey God tonight. I want you to let God have his way. Listen to me. I want every eye in the building on me right now. This is what I want you to do in the next few moments. I want you to reach over in your spiritual life, and I want you to take the brakes off. And I want you to take your hands off of the steering wheel. And I want you to say, God, here I am. And I'm becoming real before you tonight. God, I need you. God, come into my heart. Come into my life, Lord. God, I give you my burdens. I'm taking my hands off of it, God. Because, God, I've been trying to do something with it for a long time. And, God, the more I'm working with it, the worse it's gotten. And, Lord, I just need to let you have it. Lord, I'm coming real before you tonight. God, I want you more than I want life itself. I want peace with you, God. God, whatever it takes, I want peace with you. Holy Spirit, have your way, please, sir. As we worship you tonight, we worship you, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. While we quietly stand, your pastor is here to meet you. The altar is open. I encourage you tonight. Make your way around. Make your way around. Become real tonight. Let it go tonight. Maybe there's somebody in this building that you've been holding a grudge against. Come to this altar and get it right with God. And then go to them. Put your arm around them. Tell them you love them. Make it right tonight. It's time to get real. It's time to quit playing, people. And it's time to get real tonight. Do you hear the voice of God calling? Come. Examine your life. The psalmist said, "Search me, O God. Know my heart, Lord. Try me, God. My ways. Search me, oh God." Every head's bowed, every eye's closed, and we just worship the Lord. Would there be somebody in this place that said, "Brother Aaron, God is searching me right now, and He's revealing things in my life that I know are not pleasing to Him. I want to get real before God tonight. Preacher, I'm scared. I'm nervous. I don't really know what to do. Preacher, will you pray for me?" Would there be somebody just slip your hand up and say, "Brother Aaron, I want to do what's right tonight." God bless you, darling. Will there be somebody else? God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, folks, God's in this place tonight. He's in this place. I want to do what's right, Brother Aaron. God's searching me. He's revealing things in my life now. I want to do what's right. Come on. Come on. Come on. Altar's open. Altar's open. Come on, folks. Get real tonight. Get real before God. This is not fake. This is not phony. This is real time before God. And I pray right now for every hand that was raised. God, would you just give them Holy Ghost boldness, God, to come down to this altar. Yeah. Take Brother Mark by the hand and say, "I need to get it right with God tonight. Tonight, I'm getting real before God." Would you come? Would you come on now? Would you come? Maybe there are those in this place that your marriage is falling apart. You need to come get real before God. Maybe there are those in this place tonight that sickness has racked your body and you just need to get real before God tonight. Maybe they're in this place tonight and you've been harboring some hard feelings. Oh, come pour them out before God tonight. Maybe there's those who said, "Preacher, I got my feelings hurt." Oh, come make it right tonight. Come make it right. God is in the house. Do not pass Him by. Do not pass Him by. Oh, hallelujah. Would you come? Would you come? There are folks all over this building and all over this altar who are getting real before God tonight. Church, don't let Him pass you by. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, come get saved. Has God revealed that sin to you? Is right now God making that sin plain? If He is, you need to repent. Men, it may be the way you treated your wife lately. You may need to repent. Ladies, it may be the way you've treated your husband lately. Church, it may be the way you've treated your pastor lately. Pastors, it may be the way we've treated our churches lately. Church, it might be those hard words we spoke against our deacons. Deacons, it might be that judgmental spirit we've had with others. Folks, we need to get real tonight. We need to get real with God. You may be in this place tonight, and I don't know who you are. You may have hard feelings against me. Let me tell you something. You got to love me because the Bible says you do. You need to forgive. Amen. Folks, God's in this place. God is real. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Maybe tonight, God's placed somebody on your heart that's just real special to you. Maybe they've been above and beyond the call of duty. They've blessed you more than you can tell them. Why don't you just slip out of your pew if you have to, and just go put your arm around them. Say, I sure do love you. I sure do thank you. And I appreciate you. They may need to hear it, folks, more than you need to tell it. Would you go? Would you do it? Folks, I don't want to hinder this moment, because God's passing by. Oh, I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I can breathe that heavenly air. Obey God. Let me ask you something, folks. How long's it been since you've just felt good about coming to church? How good long has it been since you thought about your church and a smile came across your face? Guess what? If you're not doing that, it's not God that's moved. It's you. Now listen to me tonight. Quit blaming everybody else. Quit blaming every circumstance. And get real before God. Get real tonight.
Brother, I really appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Softly. God's in this house tonight. Y'all know that? He's here. Now I'm talking about getting real. I told Mark I feel led to do something. You might get mad at me for doing this. If you do, that'll be all right. I've got to know this man over the last year. And I've got to know him real good in the last week or so. I'm going to tell you something about your pastor. This man's real. He's got a heart for God. Church, I'm just going to say something. It's on my heart. I love Bobby Robinson to death. Bobby Robinson is one of my heroes. God in his infinite wisdom moved him, and I know you love him too. But he put this man here. Church, can you begin to imagine the difficulties that this man has faced following a man who's been here 30 years that you dearly love? I grant you, I don't know Mark this well, but he hasn't done everything just right. I promise you, he's probably made a few slips and a few boo-boos along the way. And you don't have to say amen to that. But I'm going to tell you this. He's God's man for this place, for this hour. And he's real. You know what his heart's desire is tonight? For this church just to become broken before God. And for God just to take complete control. where he can let go of the steering wheel, and so can you. And I want to ask you something. This man's real. Has he got real church members? Are you praying for him? Let me tell you something. Now, I ain't going to apologize for this. When I went to my first church and my second, third, and every church I went to, you know what I'd tell folks? I'd say, do me a favor. Please love me as much when I'm wrong as you do when I'm right. Now I want to ask you something. Are you loving him as much when you think he's wrong as you do when you think he's right? Do you still call his name in prayer? Are you lifting him up? Do you ring his phone and say, preacher, I just wanted you to know I had you on my mind today, and I'm praying for you. And Kathy, do you call him up and say, preacher, nobody else noticed what you did the other day, but I caught it, and I just wanted to say, good job, preacher. Good job. He's real. I'll tell you what I'm going to do tonight, and then I'm heading to my seat. I don't apologize for one thing I've said tonight. This has all been God's will tonight. But I want you, preacher, to stand here. And I want them to play through that one more time, one more verse, and one more chorus. And if you need to come do business with your preacher and the Lord tonight, I want you to do that. Still not too late for you. You do what God would have you to do. Your pastor may not be named Eichelberger, but if he's in the house, you can do business with him too. I love you, my brother. God bless you.
You too, Lord,
been in this house tonight.
You did a great job tonight, brother.
Praise the Lord. Revival just about to break out, folks. All over this place. Woo!
I love you, brother. Love you.
Amen. Love you, brother.
God bless you.
Amen. You are too. Amen. God bless you, sweetheart.
I finally did something right.
God bless you. God bless you. That's what it's about. Keep doing what's right. Keep your eyes on him. You know what? He loves you more than anything in the world. Thank you for obeying him. Thank you for doing what's right. Because you're precious to him. He loves you. You know that, don't you? God bless you.
Well,
I'm just a hard old shell.
but you're one that God loves and that you're letting God use you.
I love you, Max.
God bless you. Come here, Kim, boy. I love you, man.
Love you too.
God bless you. It's up to you. God bless you. Amen. God loves you. You know that. You're one of his special ones.
He wouldn't still be here.
He brought you a mighty long way. Ain't he good?
Father, I know that it's so easy to do what you want naturally, and that is to be religious. It's so easy, Father, to have our hearing in the church and our doing in the world. It's so easy, Father, to say that we believe all the right stuff about you so that perhaps one day we'll stay out of heaven.